The Great Commission, or Living Water, as I'd like to title this talk. Across my desk this week came an article written by a lady called Hannah Gray, a member of the Light of Life Baptist Church in Norfolk. She coordinates the Baptist Union Environment Network in the Eastern Baptist Association and works for Water Aid, managing a water and sanitation project in Nepal. It tied in very much with my line of thinking, as last week we'd been looking at Galatians. For those of you that weren't here, Galatians 3, 27 to 28. For all of you who were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Today's reading, however, is from Matthew 16 to 20, from the NIV. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." The timing of this may seem a little strange, as you'd expect me to talk about this after Easter. However, there are three reasons for my timing. We touched on baptism just last week. It was actually World Water Day this week. And we also have a planned baptismal service on the 18th of June. World Water Day was on the 22nd of March. This was the first UN Water Conference since 1977. And it meets to accelerate action to achieve Sustainable Development Goal 6. Everyone, everywhere, getting access to safe water, sanitation and hygiene by 2030. We need to speed up our current efforts by four times to be able to reach that target. For the Israelites living in the Middle East during biblical times, water was a precious resource. God's provision of water for the land was inextricably linked to their right relationship with him by the prophets. We read in scripture that God uses water for judgment and justice, healing and purification. Jesus controlled the waters of the storm, walked on water, and offers himself metaphorically as living water. For us, water is a precious resource, as much now as it was then. It's life-giving in more ways than one, not just for our absolute survival, for which in this country we can take for granted. We never fail to think we won't have water to fill our kettle, to have a shower, to water our plants. When we think of places around the world with droughts that have spanned years, I'm sure they couldn't imagine having houseplants that they watered, a tap that didn't require them walking a mile and carrying it back perhaps on their head. And the thought of filling a paddling pool on a hot day would be beyond them. Scientists predict demand for fresh water will outstrip supply by 40% in 2030. Water will again become a precious resource, just like it was for the Israelites. In our recent trip to India, there were many times I thought about water in its significance. Dave's going to put up a picture. When we visited various step wells, these were something I knew absolutely nothing about. As you can see, this one is empty at the time, although there was a small amount of water at the bottom. How incredibly visionary were they to build step wells 1500 years ago, building these for the conservation of water? It urged me to look at whether any of them were being used again now. And thanks to restoration efforts, stepwells have come full circle. In 2018, the government of Rajasthan, the area that we were, one of the most water-scarce regions in the world, drew up comprehensive plans for the restoration of many stepwells. There are 15 in Delhi alone marked for restoration. And although it may not solve the country's water problem completely, it could certainly provide a solution at local level to battle the scarcity of their water. Then next, going to the River Ganges. I've got two pictures, I think, from there. And seeing the sheer volume of people there and thinking about what that water meant to so many. Since ancient times, it's been the holy river of Hinduism. The River Ganges running for more than 1,500 miles across some of the most densely populated places in Asia and perhaps the most significantly religious body of water in the world. The river is considered to be sacred and spiritually pure. However, it's the most polluted river in the world, and there's no evidence that that puts off anyone going in it. For Hindus, it's sacred and revered, embodied by the goddess Ganga. Because of the purified nature of the river, they believe that the rituals they perform on the banks or in its water will bring fortune and wash away impurity. They believe that the touch of the Ganges cleanses one of all sins and that taking a dip in the sacred river bestows heavenly blessings. Although when thinking about droughts, we ourselves this past year saw evidence of drought. Just locally in Hanningfield, the reservoir bed was dry and it was frequently commented on. What can we do to make sure everyone has access to clean water? It's a huge question and a lifelong problem. We have here over the years supported many programs that seek to fund water and sanitation projects around the world. And our trip to India enabled that to see with our own eyes the desperate need for water and sanitation. It struck me how people were forced to urinate on the streets in India. At first you think it's due to education. Then as you look further, you realise it's due to sanitation. People that don't have those simple things. A toilet, something we take for granted. As Baptists, our relationship with the life-giving essence of water is not only physical but spiritual. Our immersion in water to symbolise our spiritual transformation is paramount to our beliefs. Water is everywhere in the Bible, from Genesis through to Revelation. Water is mentioned a total of 722 times in the Bible. More often than faith, hope, prayer and worship. Right at the beginning in Genesis 1-2 we read, "The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." And at the end in Revelation, "Let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes to take the free gift, the water of life." In the Old Testament there are many verses speaking of thirsting after God as we thirst for water. Psalm 42, we use the opening verse in a familiar hymn to us, "As the deer pants for the water." When this was written, it was describing a cry to the Lord. Unlike a deer being pursued by an enemy who must hunt for water, David knew exactly where to go to quench his thirst, his exhausted spirit. He must praise and worship God and therefore be sustained by the living water of God. John 4. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, then you would ask him and he would have given you living water." John 7:37, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that point, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. As Baptists, we believe in baptism as a believer. At the time when you're able to make a decision for yourself. That doesn't mean you haven't been baptized fully if you were baptized as an infant. But there, the sacrament of baptism came first, and then your profession of faith later, which is where confirmation comes in for Anglicans. However, for us as Baptists, we first profess our faith in God, and then the sacrament, the outward sign of the blessing we receive from God. What God says to us comes after. I was baptized as a child, but my friends weren't practicing Christians. I went to Sunday school as a child, but was dropped off. And I was a brownie and a guide. So I was familiar with being in a church building. Yet I never knew Jesus until someone introduced me. On the basis of his authority, Jesus told his disciples to go and make disciples as they preached, baptized, and taught. Making disciples means instructing new believers on how to follow Jesus, to submit to Jesus' lordship, and to take up his mission of compassionate service. To be a disciple means entering a relationship. We can't simply evangelize. We must show new converts how to live a Christian life, obeying Jesus' commands. Baptism is not only important because it unites us as believers with Jesus, but it symbolizes our death to sin, our resurrection to our new life, and our submission to Christ, our willingness to live God's way and to identify as God's covenant people, to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, affirms the reality of the Trinity, which comes directly from Jesus himself. Again, the thought of water flowing through the Bible 722 times, reminding us of its importance to our sustenance, bodily and spiritually. On a day like today, we could look out the window and think, if only it would stop raining. Let us actually give thanks for the provision of the water and all of its life-giving qualities. We can see where the saying being born again comes from. Baptism is a sign of our union with God, a symbolic bath as Jesus cleans us from every sin, a sign of God's Spirit in us, a sign of our faith. Baptism is a public celebration of faith. And lastly, but by no means least, we have a new family. We then enter into a new relationship with God, and now we belong to God's family. 1 Corinthians 13, "For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body." So the body is made up of one part, not of one part, but of many. If you haven't yet been baptized, or were baptized as a child, and haven't had a believer's baptism, and you want to, then talk to me about that. Today's prayers were written by World Vision, a selection which I've put together, all about water. Dear Heavenly Father, loving God, we ask for your blessings on children, mothers, fathers and communities who are thirsty. Purify, protect and multiply their water sources. Strengthen their resolve, so they may fully enjoy the benefits of clean water. Essentials like education, gardens of fresh produce, and good health. Heavenly Father, remind us of your command to love our neighbours as we love ourselves. Do not let us rest until we know we have done everything we can to meet this necessity for others. In Psalm 23, you promise to be close beside us, to protect us as we walk the darkest valley. We claim this promise for women and girls who truck to get water for their families. As you walk alongside them, strengthen them and protect them. Lord, you are good and merciful. Touch precious little ones endangered by dirty water and poor sanitation and hygiene. Give them your strength to fight off the illnesses that rack their bodies. Lead their communities to discover clean water sources close by so they can enjoy better health. Lord, we give thanks for being our source of living water. The one who satisfies our soul's deepest desire with the joy of salvation. Show us that faith doesn't come from answered prayers, but rather the confidence in what we hope for. Hebrews 11:1. Open people's eyes to recognize you as the only source of living water for their parched souls. Let them be refreshed in your love when they enjoy clean water to drink. Lord, we pray for those for whom baptism may have crossed their mind. Give them the confidence to question, ask, and to seek. In Jesus' holy name, Amen.